Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My goodness, Travis, which donut did you grab from the kitchen there just a few minutes ago? My goodness, you know, you never know what we're going to talk about here on the show. We take phone calls, we take your messages. Here we had the Attorney General of the state of Montana on the program yesterday, and then we start talking about the Schmeck Fest in Luster, which takes place 1 week from today. It'll be Friday, March 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m. And yes, I'm so excited. I'll get to be there for Schmeckfest this year. So hoping to see all our friends in the Luster, Wolf Point area. Hopefully all our KBCK listeners will be up there. I look forward to seeing you. 1 week from today, I'm going to be set up at the KATQ Radio Farm Expo in Plentywood. So that's going to be a great time, and we've got more fun events to announce as well. But we were talking about, you know, Schmeckfest, and the Attorney General's lovely wife, Christy, was in studio with us as well. So we put her on the microphone, and she was talking about all the baked goods and everything that she loves about Schmeckfest when they've been there many times over the years, being, you know, northeastern Montana family. And then for some reason, I asked him if he's ever been to Proof Donuts in downtown Billings, because they got a downtown and a West End location now. And apparently our friends from Proof overheard me mention that. And now we got like a dozen donuts in our kitchen. And these things are, I went and had a big old chunk. And oh my goodness, is that thing good. So I don't know which one Travis had, but that donut that I just had, my goodness, I got a pair. Oh, he had the maple with bacon one. Oh yeah, I've heard that's a favorite. I think they run out of that one on occasion. But anyway, yeah, so excited to be at Schmeckfest here in 1 week, and be at the Farm Expo in Plentywood here in 1 week as well. Since we're talking food, my friend George Blackard and I were talking about this earlier this morning. Did you guys hear this big news about Tyson's Foods? This is just outrageous. So Tyson Foods is shutting down American jobs, and they're going to be hiring illegal aliens. No joke, Tyson Foods closing a plant in Perry, Iowa, eliminating more than 1,200 jobs in the process. But yet then they're going to hire a bunch of illegal aliens. And so George was just saying, oh, that's it. You know, man, no more Tyson Foods. I'm not going to buy anything from Tyson Foods. And then he started figuring out everything that Tyson Foods owns. He's like, man, can you even buy a hot dog that isn't owned by Tyson Foods? And so then we got to like, man, yeah, how do you even find an all-American hot dog anymore? And I just thought it was a great question. Of course, there's plenty of great local options here in Montana. That's why we want to see more of this Montana processing. I know Redneck's sausage in the Flathead, I know they've got some Montana hot dogs and much more. In fact, I had some of their products out at on the rocks in Warden when we did our show with our friends from Nemont there. And lots to talk about this morning here on Montana Talks. We'll move on from the baked goods and find out what you want to talk about. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app, and your phone call.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I didn't think it was legal, Senator, to axe American workers and hire en masse illegal aliens.
Well, it shouldn't be, Jesse, and we're certainly going to look into whether we can change that, assuming Tyson is operating legally, which we don't even know if they are. We don't know the details of this. All we know, Jesse, is that they are firing American workers and hiring illegal aliens to replace them. This is the entire point of illegal immigration, and Republicans, we've got to hammer this point home. It reduces the wages of American workers by replacing American citizens with foreign laborers who are willing to work at slave wages.
All right, that was Ohio Senator J.D. Vance last night on with Jesse Waters. And, yeah, just another sign of the times that we are in, another sign of this American decline that is being forced upon us by Washington, D.C. Tyson Foods closing a plant, eliminating more than 1,200 jobs, but now they want to join a program called the Tent Partnership for Refugees so they can hire some of the more than 180,000 so-called migrants currently living in New York City. Meanwhile, we continue to see illegal aliens fill up the jail cells in places like Gallatin County and elsewhere across Montana. All right, lots to talk about here on this Friday, but we want to hear what you want to talk about. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Lee in Kalispell first up. Lee, what's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, this deals with Netanyahu, and I just wondering what Schumer would think if Netanyahu interfered in his election and tried to get him ousted.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, how outrageous is this that Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democrat leader, on the floor of the U.S. Senate yesterday basically stabbed our ally in the back and stabbed Bibi Netanyahu in the back while he's in the middle of prosecuting a war against these Hamas terrorists that committed the worst atrocity on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. Yeah, it's crazy. And then now he's calling for new elections in Israel. He wants new elections to take place while they're in the middle of a war, while they're in the middle of fighting this war. Straight up election interference.
Yeah, and I don't think he'd look at it the same way if it was him.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. They'd be prosecuting if they found out that there were operatives on American soil that were Israelis that were trying to somehow interfere in our elections here. They'd probably try to throw them behind bars. You know what that reminds me of, Lee? Lee, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you. You know, this isn't the first time that folks like Chuck Schumer have interfered in the Israeli elections. Do you remember the name Jim Messina, right? Jim Messina was the chief of staff to former Democrat Senator Max Baucus, and then he was Barack Obama's 2012 campaign manager. Well, once Obama was out of office, Jim Messina continued on the consulting path and continued with a consulting business. You know, of course, they got to figure out how to cash in after a few years at the White House, right? So. But Jim Messina, this actually was actually widely reported several years ago. He actually was doing just that. He was interfering as a consultant. He was interfering in the Israeli elections to try to get a more left-wing prime minister in Israel. So it's just crazy stuff. Yeah, Senator Steve Daines, for those of you who haven't heard it, has spoken out against what Chuck Schumer against his remarks on the floor yesterday. And even Mitch McConnell, who I think has been too buddy-buddy with Chuck Schumer, his fellow party leader there in the Senate, even he came out and called out Chuck Schumer for what he is doing, trying to interfere in these Israeli elections and much more. Speaking of Senator Steve Daines, I shared his statement. Yesterday, we got devastating news for Sealy Lake, for our friends in Sealy Lake, Montana. Pyramid Mountain Lumber in Sealy Lake shutting down. And I shared this information via X, via Twitter, the moment that it first came out yesterday. Just devastating news for our friends in Sealy Lake. But it's also a reminder of how desperately we need new federal judges here in Montana. I mean, what were we just talking about yesterday with Attorney General Austin Knutson right here on this show? Let me rewind the tape for you here. This was at the very end of the program yesterday. We only had like a minute or so to go. And then I threw this question to Attorney General Austin Knutson just as we were running out of time. We had a caller call in about all of these radical environmental groups and how they're shutting everything down here in Montana. Kind of ties in with what we opened up with this morning about all the trash and the human feces on the banks of the Clark Fork River. Where are all these environmental groups that are housed in Missoula? Why aren't they down there with a sack picking up trash?
Well, and so from my perspective, legally, it's even worse than that. Here in Montana, we have got an entire industry of environmental law firms who all they do is sue the state. And they usually sue us in federal court. Well, why would they do that? It's because they get their attorney's fees paid. You are guaranteed an income from the federal government. Win or lose, you sue the state of Montana and you lose, you're still going to get your attorney's fees paid in the federal court system. It's insanity. And what it's done is you've incentivized these liberal lawyers who couldn't make it in the private sector, but they're going to go and sue the state over environmental matters and make themselves a living.
All right. And then you could hear the music rolling in the background. Also, as we were having that conversation right there, because it was in like the last minute or so of the show, but it ties in right with this news, this devastating news for Seeley Lake. So we'll come back to that right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There's my mic. All right, there we go. There's my microphone. All right, sorry about that. All right, well, this news, Pyramid Mountain Lumber, just devastating news for our friends in Seeley Lake. I'm reading directly from their press release here. As everyone at Pyramid knows, the company has been hit very hard by a variety of circumstances that are outside of its control. Among other problems, labor shortages, lack of housing, unprecedented rising costs, plummeting lumber prices, and the cost of living in western Montana have crippled Pyramid's ability to operate. Pyramid's management group and the board of directors have worked on many of these issues for years to try and find a way to address these difficult issues. And despite their very best efforts, they see no way out of this situation. So it is with the heaviest of hearts that the board of directors and shareholders voted unanimously to close the mill and shut down Pyramid's operations. Senator Steve Daines says this is devastating news for the Seeley Lake community and all of Montana. Pyramid Mountain Lumber has been a leader in common sense land stewardship efforts, provided many good paying jobs, and contributed to the wood products economy since 1949. Montana cannot afford to keep losing sawmills. What did we just say wrapping up yesterday's show? We talked about these radical environmental groups that constantly sue to block these responsible forest health projects, constantly sue to block these timber projects. And then when they win the lawsuit, they get a bunch of your taxpayer dollars in the federal court system. And then I wrapped up with the final 20 seconds I had. I said, and why are they able to do so? Because of liberal judges like Don Malloy, who will support a Chinese company called TikTok, but won't support your logging company in Montana. I just said that yesterday. I'm reading from the transcript, word for word. Liberal federal judges like Don Malloy, who will support a Chinese company being able to do business in Montana, but won't support your logging company in Montana. In fact, they will attack it. And so every logging project, we can sue everyone, but again and again and again, who put these guys on the bench? United States senators are who the President of the United States will call on to nominate a judge to the federal bench. Don Malloy, you can thank Max Baucus. All these other federal judges that are ruling against oil and gas and coal and ruling against agriculture, ruling against farmers and ranchers. Who do you think put those liberal federal judges on the bench? John Tester. I think practically every federal judge, if not every one of them right now, were appointed by Democrat presidents. This is who does the dirty work for these politicians. These politicians will come around and tell you they support agriculture. They'll come around and tell you they support oil and gas and coal. And then the judges that they handpicked to get put on the bench do the dirty work for them and shut your businesses down. Time and time again, we see this. So again, folks, I can't state enough how important these judicial races are this November. I can't state enough how important this Senate race is this November. And this is yet just another reason why we continue to suffer these impacts because of these radical environmental groups and these federal judges that enable them. But if you keep voting for the same people in these big Senate races, what else do you expect to get? 294-0970, the number for you. Jim in Malta next up. Jim, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Hey, doing all right.
Hey, I just kind of comment on Tyson. I've years ago used to haul stuff out of some of their different facilities around the country, but you know, it's really not surprising. That program you were talking about and getting these so-called immigrants, illegals, to work for them. What do you bet they're going to get government subsidized to do that, to pay them cheap labor? And I just want to remind all the union workers, the Teamster leadership, again, is supporting Biden-Harris. And they put it out in emails, and it is just it absolutely disgusts me when they do that. You know, they need to leave it up to their membership to vote on who they're going to vote for. We learned the hard way a long time ago at a particular trade association I sat on the board of directors for. The leadership decided to push a particular candidate at the time, and I bet you we lost 25,000 to 30,000 members.
Because the union crazy. Bosses, the union bosses are sometimes trying to figure out how to put money in their own pockets by taking it out of their union members' pockets, or the union bosses want to push a certain party politician, but the union members are in the opposite opinion. I mean, if you were a union guy or gal right now, why would you vote for John Tester, for example? I mean, look at what's happening to railroad jobs. Look at what's happening to coal strip. They killed one and two. They're going for three and four. Tester's buddies are trying to block the natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel. I mean, Tester was the deciding vote to basically kill the Keystone Pipeline. Thousands of union jobs, just like that, lunch pail in hand. Kicked out of your hotel rooms in Eastern, not kicked out by them, but, you know, hey, all of a sudden now you're kicked to the curb. And so, like, yep. But yet these union bosses, some of them, they're starting to be a shift finally, but they're still pushing people to vote party line.
Absolutely. And I just would like to remind everybody out there, you know, folks are losing their jobs. And look at if you've got a 401k, look at how well that's done for you since the Build Back Broke program has been in effect. You know, like guys are losing $100,000 to $200,000 out of their retirement. So, vote your paycheck and see, you know, what the economy has done.
Yeah, what was the line? Some of my firefighter union friends were telling me this. They said that the line that the union leadership would use is "vote your pension, not your hobbies." Because, and why would they say that? Because they would say that because they'd say, "Well, hey guys, I know you're tempted to vote for the Republicans because, you know, they support your land access. You want to go snowmobiling, you want to go dirt biking, you want to go hunting and fishing, you support gun rights. So I know there's 1,000 reasons why you union guys would want to vote Republican, but vote your pension." They can't really say that anymore, can they?
All right, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the time and what you do.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. By the way, speaking of Malta, that was a call from Jim in Malta. Got a great update here from our friends at Rivers Bend Assisted Living. Rivers Bend Assisted Living, you might recall we did our radio show from their location back in December just before Christmas. That's when we did our big hunting show. And had a great turnout there. But anyway, Rivers Bend Assisted Living on Wednesday did a big fundraiser for Sergeant Nevada Krinke's family. Sergeant Nevada Krinke is a Montana native, served in the 82nd Airborne Division, and then served as a police officer in Sheridan, Wyoming, and was killed in the line of duty just about 1 month ago. Leaves behind a wife and a baby, a six-month-old baby. They did a big fundraiser there and a recognition for first responders. The fundraiser for Sergeant Krinke's family raised over $6,100. So our friends at Rivers Bend Assisted Living wanted to say thank you to the community of Malta. And, yeah, we echo that thank you here. The Highline always shows up in times of need, that's for sure. And, by the way, I also chatted with Jeremy Shea, who is Sergeant Krinke's brother. You know, they had their big fundraiser last Saturday in Ennis at the Sure Shot Coffee Company that he owns. And he said a very, very, very good day at the coffee shop, probably during the height of the summer tourist season, could bring in, say, $3,000 a day, right? On Saturday, they brought in over $15,000 worth of business. The place was packed. People were driving in from Helena. They were driving in from Billings. They were driving in to Ennis from all over the state to be there in person. They could have donated online, and many did. There's even more money than that came. Over $20,000 came in for that fundraiser in Ennis. But people wanted to be there in person, and so just remarkable, remarkable turnout. And by the way, that same QR code that we had on our Montana Talks website with the details for that fundraiser, you can still use that exact same QR code to donate to Sergeant Krinke's family to this day. All right, we had a message come in here, another message on our Montana Talks app. This came from Bobby in Helena. This will upset some, but if you are eating Tyson products, you are consuming highly processed garbage. Buy local and buy healthy. Bobby, when I was talking with our friend George Blackard here on this Freedom Friday, we had kind of a similar conversation because George is like, that's it, I'm done with Tyson. I'm done with Tyson Foods. I'm done. Well, Tyson owns a whole lot of stuff. But then again, we got a whole lot of great Montana companies here, don't we? And this is why we need more locally processed meat. And I know the Montana stock growers and others are doing everything they can to get more of that happening. But, you know, we got like our friends at Avalanche Ranch and their Wagyu beef. Some of our listeners have been hearing about them. You've got Reminis Angus and their jerky, Anthem Snacks. You got the Redneck Sausage. I mean, Ranch House Meat. I mean, so many. Seiko, hey, you don't want Tyson or Smithfield China-owned sausage? Well, there you go. You just drive to Seiko, right? Let's take you to Whitefish. Lee is on the phone lines. Lee, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. You know, I have a comment about Tyson. Number one, you know, first of all, they're taking away 1,200 jobs of people in Iowa. That is just like a sin. And then they're probably getting a bump right from the government, like that last caller just said. But, you know, what an insult, because we, the Americans, are paying for all these illegals. And now on top of it, now you're going to lose your job. I am not from Iowa, but I mean, I feel sorry for the people that are. They're going to lose their job, and now it's a double whammy in a way. So I definitely think we should all boycott Tyson. Sorry.
A slap in the face on multiple fronts. No, well said, Lee. Lee, stand by if you can. Got to take a quick break, and then we can come back to you and other callers right after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Western Art Week is underway in Great Falls, Montana. And, of course, the cornerstone of this week's celebration is the Russell Art Auction taking place on Saturday evening. Western artist Toby Sauer grew up in Lewistown, Montana, and he has partnered up with C. Sharp's Rifle Company out of Big Timber to feature a one-of-a-kind painting and Sharp's rifle being offered in the auction.
You know, growing up, my heroes were artists. They were Charlie Russell, and to be here at the Russell with this piece. And growing up, Sharps was a huge part of, you know, the movies that I loved. And getting to work with the Sharps Rifle Company to paint this painting was a really cool experience. And I'm really excited to be here and paint, hope it goes well.
The artwork, called When a Storm is on the Horizon, Carry a C-Sharps, features a cowboy horseback holding a C-Sharps rifle. The painting combines Montana artistry and craftsmanship. Zach Schofstall and his family own C-Sharp Arms in Big Timber.
Toby's art is exceptional. And to be able to inspire him with a piece and then work towards a historically based piece with a rifle based on a historical rifle shipped out west in 1875 and inspired Toby's cowboy, I think it's just super cool. And I'm real excited about it.
To see the painting and rifle selling in lot number 94 at the Russell Auction this Saturday, visit my Facebook page, Lane Nordland, Ag Broadcaster.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Lee and Whitefish. Lee, thanks for sticking around on the phone lines. You really nailed it there just before the break. I mean, this is just the repeated pattern that we're seeing here, right? I mean, we're seeing veterans that can't get timely appointments or timely care through the VA, but yet then the Biden VA is using VA personnel to process health insurance claims for illegal aliens. And then Tyson Foods, oh, we're going to shut down this plant, 1,200 jobs lost. Oh, but then we're going to go hire a bunch of illegal aliens. And we could go on and on and on. Oh, hey, hey, girls, we're going to allow boys to identify as girls and take away your sports opportunities. Or worse yet, slam you around on the basketball court so that you get so badly injured that you don't have enough players to even play in the game anymore. I mean, just like I say, we could go on for the full hour.
Exactly. And, you know, you had mentioned Canada, what they're doing up in Canada. Now, you know, this all ties back to the fourth industrial revolution that Schwab wrote. This is what their plan is. It's all laid out by the Democrats. People, I am a Republican. People, my friends that are Democrats don't believe me. And I'm like, read the book. You need to read the Fourth Industrial Revolution because it is all laid out there. And they tell you that they are going to eliminate the middle class. Most people who don't follow politics or get into it have no idea. And they keep saying that it's Trump that's going to go communist. No, 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 no. Quite the opposite. It's actually the Democrats that are trying to take us there.
Well, that was actually the point that J.D. Vance made. I played a short version of that soundbite from the segment with Jesse Waters last night. But he said, this is the decimation of the middle class through illegal immigration. If I had played even 30 seconds more of that, he makes that point that they are deliberately decimating the middle class because they want us all dependent on the government. Now, they're still going to be, they still want to be the elites running Facebook and they still want to have their lobster dinners and fly their private jets to their climate change conferences, but they want the rest of us dependent on them so they can maintain their elite status.
Exactly. And two things to that, Aaron. One, why do we call them elites? They really are, well, I can't say it on the radio, but not quite elites in my estimation. And two, I mean, if people knew, like Bill Gates, you know, they're building these bunkers for themselves, for their houses. They have their own farmland. They have their own animals, right? And they're going to force us into this corner of eating plastics and garbage, you know? Like you said, even Tyson. The quality of Tyson is terrible. People shouldn't be eating it anyhow. I agree with that. The woman that, I don't know, made the comment or something before about it, it's all processed. It's horrible for you.
Well, and that's why we need more, you know, like all these conversations we've had, like what our friends, you know, Greg Putnam and Tim Sheehy are doing with Little Belt Cattle Company, working with Turk Stovall you know, the feedlot in Shepherd, Montana to try to do, you know, full spectrum. Let's do it all here in Montana. From start to finish, and then let's have Montana beef on the table. And that's what the Stock Growers Foundation is working to build, more of this local processing. Let's get away from big food like Tyson Foods that wants to shut down American jobs but then give illegals jobs. Thanks for the call, Lee. Great to hear from you. Lee mentioned Canada. Some of you are probably thinking, what's the story out of Canada? Real quick. There's two stories, two big stories going on in Canada right now. There's a proposed bill that would basically allow them to imprison people over free speech matters. You say something they don't like, they're going to throw you in prison and potentially for life over a free speech issue. But then apparently they're having a big problem in some Canadian cities with car thefts. So some government officials in Canada are literally telling their people, hey, what's happening is people are breaking into homes to steal their cars. So these government officials are saying, hey, here's what you should do. You should leave your car keys in the car so that it's easier for them to steal your car, and then they won't break into your house. Here's part of what Gutfeld had to say last night.
While they imprison you for speech, please leave your car keys within reach. A proposed Canadian law would allow judges to imprison you for life, but not over something you did. It's what you say. Like if you were to say you were for genocide. So what does that even mean? Will they arrest Hamas supporters or arrest Israel supporters because Hamas supporters see them as the genociders? Now, unlike Urkel, I can say, I can say genocide is bad. But really, life imprisonment for hate speech? In America, you don't even get that for murder. The law would also empower judges to put you under house arrest if they believe you will commit a crime. That gets rid of those pesky things like evidence and actually doing something illegal.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on in Canada under Trudeau. And the he's speaking of the Great Reset. He talked openly about leveraging COVID-19 to usher in the Great Reset. And he has talked about how jealous he is of communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping for the powers that he has over his people. Here you go. Justin Trudeau and these leftists in Canada, much like the leftists in America, they really liked the power they had during COVID-19. And so that's why they keep trying to exercise other powers. Let's see. Let's go to Bill in Big Fork next. Bill, what's going on? Okay, was going to go to Bill in Big Fork. Let's see. Next up, Lucas Schubert in Kalispell. Lucas, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just wanted to talk about a lot of the high cost of housing, which about an hour ago, there was a story that you were talking about the logging company that shut down in Sealy Lake due to the high cost of housing. It is absolutely critical. So I'm running for the legislature, and it is absolutely critical that we take this seriously in the next session to really try and decrease this cost of housing. I think the best solution is to reduce all sorts of taxes, fees, and red tape, you know, in all facets of the housing sector, because when you reduce the price to produce or maintain, you're going to reduce the price that people end up paying to buy or to rent at the end of the day. So we need to get this situation under control, because I was looking at something like the cost of housing is outpacing real wage growth massively by like 40 or even 50, maybe even like 70%. So it's crucial that we address it. And also even just property ownership, you know, throughout American history, property ownership has been the driving force of wealth retention and gain among the middle class.
That's right.
So we need to really bring back and restore the American dream of attainable property ownership for people, and not through just having the government build a ton of Soviet-style apartments. Okay, that's not the solution.
Yeah, public housing is not the answer. That's right. That will worsen the situation and worsen property taxes. Well, and also, Lucas, the other thing is, it also goes back to our judges. Like I was saying, so the federal judges will shut down timber project after timber project after timber project. But as you point out, they're also talking about housing prices. Our legislature delivered housing reforms last session. And who blocked it? A liberal district court judge. Yep. Here in Montana. So I'm glad when you've called in before, you've highlighted the Supreme Court races and the district court judge races that are so critical that oftentimes get ignored or forgotten.
Exactly, and that's why we need to make it so that judge candidates have the option to file with the party, so that even for these low races that people, you know, reality is maybe only 10 or 5% of voters know which way a district, if there's a contested district court judge race, which way they actually lean partisan-wise. And so we need to allow them to file with the party to have transparent judicial elections, which many in the last legislature, despite having a supermajority, many Republicans, they voted against that, including my opponent. So we need to take this seriously and get real conservatives elected in the primaries that are coming up June 4th.
You know, the whole and the importance of private property and private property rights and the significance of owning property. I think it was DeSoto who had a book called The Mystery of Capital some 20 or so years ago, and it makes that very point. You look at successful countries, private property is central to that, is fundamental to that. Having a chunk of ownership, being able to keep what you worked for is critical to the success.
Exactly. You need to be able to reap what you sow. And, you know, you need, like you said, basically, countries that have poor property ownership rights, the poor property rights where the government comes in and takes property, or there's no enforcement of actually saying, like, listen, you know, this is my property, criminals can't come in and steal stuff. You know, why would you invest in that economy? Why would you invest in a future that's not certain? So, yeah, absolutely, you know, property ownership is critical for the success of the economy and for the success of individuals.
That's right. But the people that are pushing all of these policies and propping up these liberal judges are the ones that are telling you, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And so that's why they're pushing some of this stuff so deliberately, so openly now, frankly. Lucas, thanks for the call. We'll get to Lance and Kalispell next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go to Lance in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Lance, what's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I'm just wondering if maybe you could get somebody from the state on to explain the dumpster fire that is the unemployment insurance department at the moment. For example, I lost my job in January. I know of people that lost their jobs due to cutbacks. And you file your claim, jump through all the hoops, do all the paperwork, everything. And here it's going into March, middle of March, and I know several people that still haven't been paid for benefits from December, myself for all of January. Thankfully, I've gone back to work. But, you know, you try and get on the phone and talk to them, and it's hours and hours of redial. And the one time, I've literally spent over 20 hours trying to call in to just get some kind of information. I was finally able to get through after, you know, literally hundreds of redials. And you get just the standard message, your claim has been received and will be processed, and just keep checking in with us. You try and email them through the portal, and, you know, no response. And it just makes you wonder, you know, what's really going on? I mean, it's one of those things, yeah, okay, so I didn't work for a month, I went back to work, but, you know, it really puts people that are not as fortunate in such a bind. I mean, puts you so far behind on your bills and, you know, then puts you in this really uncomfortable spot. I went into the job service to see if maybe they could help me get some understanding, and they say the new system they've gone to has basically cut the job service out of being able to assist you, where in the past they might have been able to at least get somebody on the phone and at least get some information on your claim.
Yeah, no, yeah, good question. Yeah, hopefully, you know, somebody from one of those agencies is listening right now. I mean, because, and I wonder if there's more streamlining that could be done, like what we've seen with the DMV, for example, where, you know, they were plagued with long wait times and everything, and now they've really cleaned up the process over there under the AG and the Department of Justice. Another question for you. So since you've unfortunately been unemployed, we keep hearing about low unemployment in Montana. What are the job opportunities like out there? What are you seeing on that from that front?
Fortunately for me, I was an independent contractor for about 20 years, and then I had some medical issues. I had to have surgeries and just didn't have it physically to be able to do the work for a couple of years, so I became an employee. Up here in the Kalispell area, there's still enough construction that I kind of resurrected my contracting business and have been able to get back to work on that end. But
so just do a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but for people that, say, for example, my son, they cut his job just due to cutbacks and had to go find a job in something he was entirely, has no knowledge of, and having to start all over from the ground floor, you know, and to him, that was a pretty sizable cutback. Plus, he lost his housing due to the cutback because the job he had a little apartment provided with the work.
Yeah, and then we had new projects that were starting to come online for housing projects, but then when that judge, blocked the new legislation, then apparently that put the brakes on some of this stuff. It's just, yeah, all the up and down is just crazy, the unnecessary up and down sometimes, too. Well, thanks for putting that on our radar. I appreciate it. Lance, thanks for calling in. I know we're getting short on time. We got more callers on the line here as well. Kevin in Florence, good to hear from you.
Yeah. About 15 years ago, I was on the planning board, and we had a subdivision up in the Cedar Lake area, a nice subdivision. It wasn't 100 houses per acre. And one of the things they talked about at the time was there was no housing in Cedar Lake for workers. And it was turned down by the Missoula County Commissioners, one of them, which was from Cedar Lake. But for the voters out there, those decisions have consequences, and one of the consequences is probably some reflection of what we're seeing today for Pyramid. When you have environmentalists out there, and our county commissioners in Missoula County are environmentalists.
Oh, yeah, big time.
They're probably jumping for joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right. People forget that county connection there, and yeah, no, you're right. It all factors in, and then all these things start piling up, and before you know it, you got more snow on your roof than like you were living in Alaska in the wintertime, and eventually the roof caves in.
Well, one of the reasons they wanted to deny it was a wildlife corridor, they said, for the grizzly bear.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Judge Malloy uses grizzly, lynx. I mean, you pick the animal, he'll find an excuse to shut down your timber project or something.
Well, at the time, I lived in Missoula, and what I thought was so funny is the Fish and Game would come up and say, well, we want you to put up wildlife fences. And we have wild, and I had a wildlife corridor running down our alley. We had more deer running around eating everything. And it just cracks me up when I hear these people talk about it.
Yeah, you know, in fact, mentioning Judge Malloy and these radical environmentalists shutting down all these jobs and all these projects over the years while they, you know, collect a really nice paycheck from the taxpayers. You know, maybe Judge Malloy should also be one of those radical environmentalists that picks up a sack and go cleans up the drug needles and the human feces off of the Clark Fork Riverbank. You know, he can get down there for the river cleanup too, can't he?
Well, he certainly can, and you're absolutely right when it comes to appointing these judges. We the people are at fault for who we elect. And
that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Tester and Baucus are the ones that have put these guys on the bench. Hopefully some retirements happen soon. But if we don't get the elections right, could be worse.